Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener.
The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that have enthralled you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped.
So Ronnie, I recently downloaded Squeeze Me by Carl Hyacin, mainly because it shows a martini glass with a snake tail wrapped around it. I mean, what else needs to be said? And I am very excited to listen to it later today.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500. That's audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500.
At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada.
You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch.
Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Old Props. I'm Ronnie. Guess who I'm with? It's this very special day. He's thin. He's got a lot of hair. He's very cute. He made a salmon dish. His name is Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. Hello.
Well, hello. Welcome to your show, Watch What Crappens, Ben Mandelker.
No, welcome to your show, Ronnie Karam. Hey, how are you doing today, Ronnie Troll Arena Karam?
Good. It's real rainy looking outside. I made some lentil soup. I feel just so wintry. I got a new blanket from the Homo Goods. I feel just so going to cuddle up with it.
It's so, we are so aligned because I was telling you right beforehand, but before we came on the air, I was looking at duvet covers. So, I mean, I guess linens is kind of the vibe.
Yeah.
And I guess, by the way, can I just give a shout out? I'm like totally shameless for people, since you mentioned salmon and lentils, to check out my cooking Substack, nbdfancy.substack.com. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Oh, that's so good. You know what? I still haven't checked it out. I'm a terrible friend and partner.
No. You've got a lot on your plate. No pun intended.
No, I don't. You've got lentils on your plate. I need to fucking go check it out. I was reading recipes all last night, and I didn't go to your Substack. Come on.
I'm trying to do I'm trying to figure out the balance about writing about food in a way that like is satisfying to me without sounding totally pretentious. I've had to rewrite so many of those things because there's something about when you start writing about food, you just become an asshole. And like, it just happens. I was like, the other day I was trying to figure out how do you cook mussels? And the thing is, there's not enough fishmongers in Los Angeles. I was like, who wants to read this? So I had to like, okay, that's come back down from being mongers. Well, that's true. There should be more fishmongers in Los Angeles. And I would volunteer as tribute, except I don't want that. But the thing is, I'm just trying to write about food in a fun way, or an interesting way at least, and not turn into Padma.
Mm. Although, well, she does very well, you know? So
I was about to say, I would love to turn into Padma. What am I saying?
Get on a bikini top and talk fishmongers. I'm into it.
Did you mean to not have any fishmongers, Los Angeles?
I'll tell you when you can mong my fish, L.A. So, not LA, world. I don't even know what I just said. Welcome to the show. Today is Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Day. Super exciting day. Okay. We're also on demand today. Hi. So, it's a video for those of you on Patreon on the Crappens on demand level. Also, we did a Real Housewives of Miami trailer for season 5, which is super fun. That's a video as well. It's also an audio, which you can check out on Patreon. Also, announcement, we're moving Winter House to the main feed this week. If you want last week's recap, it's a bonus. Okay. It was a double bonus week. So we did that on the bonus. We're going to add it to the regular feed tomorrow. The schedule is going to be a little weird for the next couple of weeks because we're in Bravo changeover time. So we're going to check in probably with the new Below Deck Adventure and whatever else, you know, there's a lot coming. So just be patient. And also we'll be here. We're not going anywhere. Just keep coming back. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of amazing stuff is on the horizon on Bravo. They're just basically spamming us with new shows. So yeah, as long as you subscribe, you know, there are people that listen but are not subscribed, which is totally fine. Live your life, you know, enjoy your content how you want to enjoy it. But if you subscribe, the best part about it is you don't even have to worry about this spiel because the content is just going to come to you. So go subscribe. Wherever you're listening to this, make sure you've also hit subscribe too.
Okay. Oh yeah. Also, Monday is our Take a Seat night. We'll be back this Monday on Spotify Live, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. Okay. It's our fun live show. So come join us for that. Now, onto the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Now, Salt Lake City really took a fun turn this week with a Little Rascals opening.
Wow, that was unexpected. Salt Lake City decided to change the game for previouslys. It wasn't even a previously. It was a, hey, there's things going on in pop culture outside of this TV show, and we need to address all three of them in this episode. So we're just going to give you an update, but since we're bored, we're going to make it an old-timey update.
I loved it. Also, they kept shooting. Now, this is not fact. I don't know. But from what I remember last year, it could be fact. I mean, I don't know. It's conjecture. But I think they just kept shooting because they're very excited to see Jen go down in flames, basically. So they just kept shooting from the end of last season. They didn't stop. So when they had the reunion, they were shooting the next season already when they had the reunion, which is why they kept saying, we can't talk about that. Like, they were mad at each other, but couldn't talk about why. And I think we're starting to see why, because now they're reacting to things that happened at the reunion, you know? And this episode does seem like it takes place a couple weeks later or something, because they're kind of starting over in a way, right? They're like, here's some new storylines. Whitney's husband got fired and everything's new. Here's a new season. So it's good. Like, episode 6, we're finally starting with the new stuff.
Yeah, it feels almost like the previous part of that, everything that we've watched for the past 5 episodes did not really come into play for this episode, which was sort of strange, but whatever. So yeah, we get this old-timey thing that's like, here's what's happening in the news. Justin got fired. Lisa Bottle sent out a tweet. And then a third thing, which I don't remember, but it happened.
Jen, who was behind? Jen Shaw exposed.
Oh yeah, Jen Shaw exposed. Oh yeah, this crazy.
My favorite meanwhile, Wild Rose Whitney has been exposing too much. And then you just see her bent over on the bed with Justin behind her, like Fred Flintstone covered in chocolate mud or whatever that shit was. And her going, and her husband Justin has been fired. Finally, does this mean war? Queen of Sundance Lisa Barlow was called out Heather Gay over a text message exchange they shared over the death of Meredith's father. It's like, wow, they're really getting a lot in here.
Oh, yeah, I wrote this all down, too. I'm acting like I didn't write it down. I spent an entire 2 minutes writing this damn monologue.
Whoever this news guy was really had to fit a lot in there. And her husband, Justin, has been fired. Finally, does this mean war? And Queen of Sundance Lisa Barlow was called out Heather Gay over a text message exchange they shared over the death of Meredith's father. It's like, how many takes did that take?
Listen, you know what? I thought Tom Brokaw did an excellent job, and I'm happy to see he's still getting work, okay?
Tom Brokaw.
So then, the most exciting part for me was that it transitioned to the opening credits. The opening credits were black and white, and then also an old-timey audio, but then it transitioned into color and current audio. I was like, someone in the post department had so much fun doing that. Like, they're like, oh, I can't wait to make this filter transition. It will be the best.
Yes. Well, all the Housewives shows have been getting a lot better with that. We've got Potomac. We've got Potomac with the live flowers, and then they slowly die in between the scenes.
Yeah.
And then this one, I think someone in post is like, listen, guys, these are cartoons for adults. Let's just make them as cartoonish as possible now. I love the new era of post-production over at Bravo.
But really, I mean, we have to give a tip of the hat to the real pioneer in that area, which was Orange County about 2 years ago, when they kept on having volleyball players sort of cut out and then superimpose and then turning into a transition to like Shannon's home. It'd be like someone diving across the sand, but then like by the time they'd land, you were actually at Shannon's house somehow.
Yes. Yes. Or a boat passing and like it's a transition into Tamara's, the trash dumpster that Tamara's on top of screeching at someone to get away from her trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well done. Heather is in blue. She's in blue, blue, and blue. She's in blue pants, blue top, blue jacket, Blueberry. Wearing a blue purse. And she goes into the Alliance Theater. Ooh, the Alliance.
Yeah. And starts talking to this guy named Jay, who is the theater manager. And she tells us, I have so many stresses piling up on me, but at the same time, I need an outlet. So I need a resource to like renew my soul. So I've decided to form a choir. And I, what? You know what?
That's a what spelled W-U-T. What?
With a few questions. Like, wait, did I hear that correctly? You're starting. I mean, I have to say, Ronnie, you know what? I applaud her. She said, I'm going to create a new category of strange storyline for The Real Housewives. You know, we've seen lots of these things. We've seen lots of strange things. I'm going to open up my, the first one, of course, was I've decided I want to be a singer. Kim Zolciak was a pioneer there years ago. And now they all want to be singers. First time we've seen someone say they want to start a choir on one of these shows. And it's both befuddling and admirable.
It really is. My only question was, have you heard of masturbation? Like, I need a release. So you start a choir? Really? Like, there are easier ways, you know?
Why don't you just, like, listen to Beyonce's new album? I think that's probably good enough.
No, and masturbate. Just at the same time. And masturbate. So then,
whatever it is, just do something and masturbate with it, you know?
Yeah, because I don't know. I don't trust homemade choirs. You know what I mean? Now, I'm a crafty person. I love a community theater. I do. We all know it. Mm-hmm. Homemade choir is a different thing. Homemade, you know, it's like homemade mac and cheese. Not everybody can do that. You know, I believe in you, but you're dressed like a Smurf and you don't know how to masturbate. Well, so,
you know, when I went to college, my school had a few like a cappella groups, as several colleges do. But like there's like the one a cappella group that's been there for like 50 years. And then there's like the newer a cappella group that's been there for like 10 or 20 years or something like that, 15 years. And then what happens is then you get like the runty brand new one that's like it's like the Heather Gay Choir a cappella group. And it's not good because all the good singers are at the established ones. And so you always see these people trying to start these a cappella groups and they're like, hey, we're going to be singing at Hillel tonight. Who wants to join us? And you go, it's like, take on me. And you're like, oh, God, they're doing take on me again. And they're not even hitting the notes.
Well, you know, I can't make fun of that because I started an a cappella improv team.
Did you?
Yes. It was a musical team.
That's improv. That's improv.
Yeah, but
that's
you're totally just different. Coming out to make up, like, we would be like, boop, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, boop, beep,
beep, boop, yeah, but we're not we're not like
it was called Dorkapella to be fair, but
but like you understand, like you called it Dorkapella, like you're not being guilted into going to see someone.
But my friends
sing
were
shy at Hillel. Yeah, you know,
I get it. My friends were there, so I can't make fun of it. I was like, you guys have to come see Dorkapella. It's like the coolest thing. So anyway, the audience has hung up, so we can feel comfortable saying whatever we want now. We've gone from masturbation to terrible a cappella choirs. So Dre comes in, and, you know, because she's going to be the one doing all the work, I think. Heather is going to make Dre earn that new car that she got her last year in every episode.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You know? So
that's true.
Heather explains to us that Corey was raised a Baptist and he was a choir director for 27 years. And one night we were just at my house singing around the piano and it reminded me, I love singing with friends.
And as I hit the crescendo of that beautiful song by Ace of Base, I saw the sign. I did see the sign. The sign said choir, start one now.
And she's like, you know what? Choirs just don't exist right now like this. Like, there's nowhere I can go sing spiritual songs or non-spiritual songs. And I like that. I like that that's her rule. You know, it's going to be like, we'll sing some spiritual songs, but also like back that ass up, you know?
Yeah. You know, there are places that you can do that. Karaoke bars, actually.
Your shower. Might I suggest your shower?
While you're masturbating.
So she's like, I just feel like my spiritual community side is lacking. Go clean up trash on the freeway. Okay? That's what I say.
You know what? I think I just need to see what the playlist is. If I approve of the playlist, I will approve of the choir. Because with the right songs, I am down for like Elisa Barlow and Townspeople
Amazing
Choir.
Amazing Grace! I love that! That's right.
Take it down a little bit.
Yeah, take it down a little bit. That's too high for me.
Meds and Chris. Yeah. How about we are the world? We are the people.
Take it down. Take it down. I can't sing it like that. That's not my
We
that's
are
not my
the
key.
World.
We are the people.
That's not going to work.
So Heather says, you know, I used to have that every week, and I miss sitting with my family, singing, and feeling the presence of God in my life.
Corey's like, okay, less talking, more lies. Okay, 3, 2, 1, you better ring them bells. You better ring them bells. Are we starting auditions or what?
No, so she wants to start her own choir and sing with people who feel the same as her. And, okay, I'm already won over. I love this idea. I'm going to start looking for a choir. Maybe I'll start a choir in my neighborhood.
I just love it. It feels like, I feel like Greta Gerwig came into the show and was like, I'm going to pitch an idea to you, Andy Cohen. Have her start a choir and I'll direct the episodes.
I've got a pitch. Everybody stay seated. This is going to be quick. Ready? Choirs. So she doesn't really seem to, you know, and she admits she doesn't really know what she's doing, right? So she's going to have a week of auditions. A week? No, that is one night, okay? You don't make auditions convenient for everybody else. They can't make it that night. They can't make it to choir. Okay, that's the last thing you need is a bunch of people. I can't make it. My daughter has volleyball. Oh, I can't do it. My son has whatever. No, you fucking get here on choir. You're fucking out. Do you understand me?
I'm just having visions of Ronnie, you just showing up in the show, dressed like an all black with a beret and a cape, being like, okay, this is how we do choir. It's one night and one night only.
Speaking of, one night only, one night only. Esther, get it together. That was off key. God damn it.
And there'll be a lot of you slamming down your hands on the piano keys.
I said hit the F note.
Yes, because no, because okay, I play piano now. So I can be that guy.
I know.
Who's like playing, I can, you know, I don't play it very well, but I can just play like your dad who's taken a couple piano classes. I can be like, ring them bells, you've got to. Why is everyone else singing? Why? It's my song. It's my part.
The lyric is, so she went to Dubrovnik. Dubrovnik, it's a world city. Okay, from the top.
I wouldn't even let anybody else sing. You're here to watch me, okay? I've cast you as my audience. Okay, so then Corey, she's like, yeah, well, we're gonna put the choir together, and then our first rehearsal will be in a few weeks. Babe, Easter's coming. And what's Easter without a hymn? And Corey's like, I'll have him and him and him.
And then Bravo's like, okay, I think we're done with the scene. So then,
we need like a solid 30 minutes in this scene. I won't be happy.
I need to actually just live in the scene. I just want this to be
more choir.
Make this a Peacock special. Just make it a 7-episode arc on Peacock, like just the creation of a choir.
Yeah.
By Heather. So now we go to Jen and Coach. Coach Shaw, they arrive at like a trampoline park and he's like, we are about to get crazy. And she goes, Are we about to get high? Not like that, because the place is called Altitude. So they walk in, and the lady who's working there, I mean, she got that email a week ago saying, hey, we're going to be filming Real Housewives of Salt Lake City at Altitude, and you're going to be our ambassador. And she is ready for it.
Yeah, she really is. She's like, welcome to Alpha Tune In with Jordan. What brings us in tonight? It's like, oh my God, I've heard an audition for you to get to. Okay, thirsty ass.
She's like,
next up, we have the register worker from Altitude.
Sandy from Altitude is here to sing a song. So I went to his car with the baseball bat in the windows, and I said, that's what happens when you cheat.
And Coach Shaw,
thanks, Sandy,
is in his full-on, what? I didn't know anything about these crimes. Where he talks to his full-on voice, you know, where he talks to Jen like, yeah, she's just an innocent little baby. He's like, it's date night, and I want to do something different, and I want to have her do something different, and I want us to come together as we do something. It's different. I was like, oh my God, why don't you just choo-choo some fucking applesauce into her mouth, okay? Stop infantilizing your wife who just robbed a trillion old people across the state, sir, okay?
So then Jen is like, she's in shock because she's never been to a trampoline park, although neither have I. But at least I understand the concept of them. And she's like, oh my God, like, what's going on? What the fuck? Where are the jungle gyms? What's going on here? What's happening? Ah! And then he's basically like, jump, like, you go jump. And so they're like jumping around and there's like a lot of silliness. There is a moment I really like where out of nowhere, Jen comes around a corner bouncing on like a little hammerhead shark thing. And he's like, what are you doing? But it's just silliness in the trampolines and the block. They're not ball pits. What do you call those? Block pits?
Foam pits. Yeah, they're in the foam pit. Enjoy that. Enjoy that bright, colorful foam pit, because soon it's just going to be called, what do they call it when you, solitary. Okay. Soon it's just solitary.
A solitary pit. But it's just called a pit. You're just going to be in a pit with no foam.
Just going to be in the pit with no foam. That's right. So she's like, oh my God, thank you so much for helping me find the good things every day in my life. But you know, honey, there's still this bullshit every day. I think I mentioned to you that there was some account out there called Shaw Exposed. You remember I mentioned that? He's like, let me think about it. In the meantime, why don't you turn around so I could pat your back? I know we could get a burp if we really tried.
I like that we are now going to embark on a scene about how Jen was trolled on the internet before going to jail, all in a foam pit. Like, they're just sitting there in the foam talking about this serious shit. It's really fucked up. So she says that there's a Instagram account called Sha Exposed that was commenting very negatively about me online. Me, just me. And like, just like 2 months before, I'm going to trial. And I have bigger issues to worry about. Like, how am I going to get out of this foam pit? Okay. And then some stupid Sha Exposed account. And I just want to bury it. I just want to never discuss it.
Yeah. And she's like, so then 7 months go by, and then Lisa told me that Chris Harrington, Angie Harrington's husband, was the one who set it up, and he set up this fake account about me. And Shaw's like, wait, but why would he do that? We've never done anything to them. Guess who else feels like that? Okay? A lot of people with medic alerts that no longer have their subscription fee paid. Okay?
A lot of people who have websites up right now.
Yes. A lot of people getting error 505 messages on the website.
Bad gateways.
So Jen's like, I know, but I know what it's like to be accused of doing something you didn't do. And at this point, I need to find out, because Angie Harrington has been inserting herself into my life, and it didn't matter then, but now it really matters.
I can deal with a lot, personally, but you used Sha Exposed. You didn't say Jen Exposed. You didn't say Jen Sha Exposed. You said Sha Exposed, so you just humiliated and disrespected my entire family and also the Shahs of Sunset, and I will not stand for that.
Well, also the reason she didn't seem to care as much at first was because the name is Sha Exposed, but that's the name of the account, but it was going after Lisa Barlow mostly, right?
Yeah.
Which is like just bad branding. How is Chris Harrington even rich? He's like, I want to show, I want an account, bring it down Barlow. Let's call it Sha.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's like January 6th committee, but only going after Lisa Barlow. It's like,
It's like so. The January 6th committee, where we're mad about things that happened on January 5th. Like, wait a minute. You guys need better branding, okay?
Could you imagine if the January 6th committee subpoenaed Lisa Barlow? Like, if they just did it because they wanted to hear her take, like, okay, Lisa Barlow, what were you doing on January 6th? I was getting a Diet Coke. Okay, we were just curious.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crack. Hungry Root is the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for healthy living.
So you take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you a delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use.
Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. We love this place. It's like, I like eating this, this, and this. I'm a vegetarian, eat some fish sometimes. They send you all these groceries that all fit into exactly what you like.
Yeah, I have an issue with snacking in that I always want to snack, but I often snack on things that aren't always as good for me. And it was really great to get all sorts of healthy, nutritious snacks from Hungry Root. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Watch What Crappens listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life.
Just go to hungryroot.com/crappens to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies.
That's hungryroot.com/crappens. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Well, I'm getting to that age now, Ronnie, where I see myself on camera and I can see the back of my head. The hair is thinning out. And honestly, I mean, I have to imagine that the past few years, the stress in our world, in our lives, has impacted it.
I mean, your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. It could be your job, your deodorant, your hormones. It could be almost anything that has almost nothing to do with your hair. And that's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months.
Address your root causes of hair thinning with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code CRAPPINS.
Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CRAPPINS.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code CRAPPINS.
CRAPPINS commercial.
So, poor Shaw has just tried to have, Coach Shaw has just tried to have a scene where he didn't have to deal with this. And he just like kind of sighs and pouts at the camera. So then we go to cutting a tomato and,
yeah, seriously.
It was like a close up of a tomato. It was a very serious tomato cutting
scene. It was a big tomato transition.
It's like, wait, hold on. Listen to that tomato. There's no business like, it's like the tomatoes practicing for its audition for the choir.
It's also like, I think the first vegetable that's been sliced in that household. It's at Lisa and John's house.
And he is making fast food slices on that thing too, right? That's like the exact tomato you would get on your Big Mac. Big Macs don't have tomatoes. Quarter pound. Nope, they don't have them. Give me a Burger King one, a Whopper.
Oh, you know, your average tomato burger. Mm-hmm. Also, you know that tomato has no flavor. Let's be honest. What is it? It's like April or something.
It looked
or
like a very April or March tomato. I didn't approve of the tomato. Very bad tomato work, John.
Might as well just slice a piece of plaster, you know, and put it on your sandwich.
Hey, how's it going, honey? I'm just working because, like, everything's been so crazy. I just feel like I have to get on top of everything.
And then Jack comes up from the basement or whatever, and John goes, sup, dude?
Oh, what was that all about? And Jack goes, what's up, guys? And Lisa goes, hey, where have you been? He's like, downstairs. Wow, you've been so quiet. I didn't even know you were home. Wow, that's crazy that you were home. He goes, yeah.
Cool.
Well, cool.
I haven't even smelled fudge. Please tell me you're practicing for your applications.
And she's like, okay, so cool. So I got an email from your guidance counselor. And he just looks at her with that stupid hair. Okay, look, none of us had great hair as teenage boys, but this style of just taking your hair all the way from the back and combing it straight forward has got to stop. What doing. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Oh, God, the feathered bang thing that teenage boys have been doing. I mean, it's very sad. Like, I wish you could tell teenage boys, don't do this to yourself because you're going to regret it. But they all do it.
I know.
They love it.
That's some terrible hair. And it's on all of them. Okay, it's universal.
All of them.
It's here too. It's like an illness. It's like a fucking illness spread everywhere. It's here. You go into a grocery store, you just see those fucking poofy heads.
Poofy heads everywhere. Poofy heads. I don't want to see any poofy heads going forward, but they're there.
What happened to a good old mushroom cut, like back in my day, where we shaved our sides and then had like a big mushroom on top, like my Auntie Louisa. You know, now there's a haircut.
What about the tragic parting down the middle haircut from the mid-90s? How about that? Can we bring that? No, don't bring that back. But like, I mean, bring it back in terms of like, can we just get a rotation of awful teenage hair? Like, do we have to have puffy bangs?
This poof has lasted too long. So
the poof has lasted since Bieber.
It's terrible.
When, like Little Bieber, when Bieber was little. Little Bieber. Remember Little Bieber had that thing right over his, he had the thing.
Well, he had like the, that bowl cut, but it was also kind of feathered. But this is where they just like take a big brush and do it all the way from the back and just comb it all forward. And your hair doesn't naturally fall like that. So it's all trying to curl back. It's all in different stages of like,
it's like
trying to get away from this Trump style. You know,
that's literally Donald Trump's haircut. That's not a political statement, everyone. It's just stating facts about hair. But
MAGA has finally infected the youth of America.
There used to be a show on MTV called Two A Days, and it focused on a high school in Alabama. And that was like their hair. I mean, it was like you've just never seen puffy bangs like the ones in Alabama high schools. That was really like the pinnacle of it. And I just feel like it's spread across the country.
Yeah. Sure has. It's terrifying. I hate it.
Sure has.
So, Lisa is, you know, she's basically saying this fucking kid, we start a business for him and now he's got a couple $100,000. So he thinks that life is easy, you know, and that's not how it is. And so she's like, well, why won't you go to college? And he's like, cause I see people on the internet who are like, don't go to college, like find someone you look up to. And then like they can mentor you, or whatever.
But don't you understand, if you want to be a fudge maker and you want to go to fudge college, that's where the fudge mentors are. Jack.
I like John's advice. Cause he's like, it seems like you're basing your opinion only on people who say, don't go to college. Like, the only person I really ever see is your mother, which is why, like, I will never drink corn syrup, only saccharin. You know what I'm saying? You need to broaden your horizons. I don't, honey. I don't. But you do. I like that he's just searching YouTube for, like, don't go to college. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Don't go to college? What are you, an idiot?
I mean, I actually feel so bad for parents these days. Just watching the scene, you know, there's so many parents that have kids who are looking at stupid people on YouTube and on, like, especially now on Twitter, who are just, like, saying bullshit like this. And are like, oh, my God. So Lisa's like, Jack started Fresh Wolf 3 years ago with the help of John and myself, and it's going great. We have tens of sales, and he's doing amazing. And that doesn't mean that Jack gets to jump into Bill Gates mode and skip college and go back and get an honorary degree. It's really hard doing a long Lisa Barlow sentence, by the way. You really run out of air quickly.
Also, Jack, college wasn't just about math and science for me. It was about, like, I didn't grow up with a mom that cooked. You know what I mean?
And Jack's like, I didn't grow up with a mom that cooked either. She's like, okay. I'm going to let that pass for a minute. But honest question. Did I push you too hard? Is this my fault? Is this a boy who was raised with a plastic spoon from Wendy's in his mouth?
You know, I want to get you working. I want to get work. Jack, I'm reading your line. And you should be Jack, you speaking your line. Okay, thanks, Mom, for letting me say my line. I want to get working for me because I want to be successful on my own without people saying, oh, daddy's money. I want people to say Jack's money. And yeah, I think
they're never going to stop saying that. I mean, if you use your parents' money to start a business, they're always going to say, your daddy's money, always, you know?
Yeah.
So the only way around this at this point, you've been on national TV making money off your daddy's money, okay? The best way, get a job, a dream job, really, in your mother's eyes. Go work at Taco Bell, okay? Save up and build it that way. Otherwise, you're never going to get away from that, okay? Go to fucking college. Seriously.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Crying out loud.
Yeah, this kid really thinks he's going to be in like a music video. Go to fucking college, okay? You're not hot enough to not go to college. There, I said it.
You're not ready for Shark Tank. Okay. By the way, can we rewind and reflect on Lisa Barlow saying college wasn't just about what I learned in science and math? I love the idea that did Lisa Barlow go on like a science track in college? Was she in science and math in college? Because just the idea of her with like test tubes and beakers and like safety glasses, I just imagine so many hilarious hijinks coming from that. Just her spilling acid on people. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh, I just burned your hand off. So sorry.
Oh my God, it's a volcano.
she's still doing the volcano experiment in college.
I feel like it. She's like, ew, frogs, I won't do that. I'll get a C in this class, but I will not cut open a frog. I won't do it. I'm dissecting this chalupa. That's that.
What happens if I put Diet Coke into a centrifuge?
I think she's just going towards the basic things that you think of. You know, like, you know what? It's about more than like math and science and spelling bees. She's just thinking of like the basic classes that she can think in college. Because what did she go to college for? I don't know.
Listen, going to college is more than like science and math. It's about learning things like how to free yourself when you're strapped to a pillar in the foyer in the student center.
I mean, come on. If you don't go to college, how are you going to know in the future who you can shame for being a good time girl? You know what I mean?
You can't meet the good time girls without spending the time of the good time girls.
Let's see. American nationality, white ethnicity, born rich and prosperous Christian family. Talking about her educational qualifications, she completed her primary and higher schooling at a local high school. Lisa graduated from Brigham Young. She likewise accumulated her degrees in various fields from University of Albany as well as Northwestern University. But it doesn't say in what.
Northwestern?
It's a lot of colleges. I think
so. I would not have pegged her as someone who went to Northwestern for grad school.
There you go. So let's see. She's like, okay, well, you can think about that, but you want to go get food? Because, you know, I'm not going to make it for you. Ha, 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 ha. Look at me laughing at myself. I learned that in college.
I had a lot of time watching all those good time girls walking by me while I was trapped to the pole.
So then we go to Dum Dum Whitney's house, who's pretending to work on a computer. I mean, yeah. Whitney just on a laptop is even funny. I mean, I don't care. I don't care how much people love or hate Whitney, but I love watching Whitney. It just cuts to Whitney on a laptop going, da, 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 da,
da, da, da. The door is opening. Oh, I didn't mean to say that out loud. Hi, Justin.
But the thing is that when Whitney's typing on her laptop, she's actually just typing on her screen and she has her keyboard facing up.
Oh, it's upside down.
It's like that's the version of when the upside down book. Also, let's give a shout out to the Monoclacal Choir on this very big choir episode. This choir was going on overdrive, really every scene. And this scene, it was very like, it was like intrigue choir and they were just killing it.
Yes, I wrote tense haws. That was my note.
I always write down, it's so funny, every time I write notes like this, Corral is angry, ho ha, ho ha, ho ha, as if I'll remember the melody from that.
I do sometimes because it starts to sound like rests when you put a period, like ha, ha ha, ha ha ha. Ha ha. That was one earlier. Okay, so Whitney is on her computer, and then Justin comes in, and he's like, God, babe, I've literally been bombarded with texts and emails. I'm just trying to figure out how to do some mass communication, you know, because I gave people an answer, but it wasn't the answer they wanted, hun. And she's like, okay, let me explain what is going on to you. It was a Monday. I was having a hard day. Justin pulls up to me and he comes to my window and he was like, I'm so overwhelmed. I can't take it. I need a break. And then he looks at me and he's like, I just got fired. Wait, oh, sorry, Whitney. Did that ruin your day, Whitney?
I know. I was like, what sort of strange preamble was that about, like, I was having a really hard day and I had just dropped off the kids and I couldn't even go inside yet. I had to sit in the car and wait and listen. I was like, wait, but what? You can just say he got fired.
Yeah. I mean, Mike, I know it affects you, but Jesus, it's like the worst day of his life. And you're like,
here's how it affected me in my car.
I don't know, but yeah, because basically what she's saying is life is already so hard and now it just got harder. So
yeah, because she's like,
what about me? What about risk? I don't make as much as him, and we're just recovering from a huge risk last year.
Yeah, spending all of his life savings on your fucking makeup line when he's already working for a personal care company. So she's like,
what about our lifestyle? What about the bar in the basement?
What about the stripper pole greasing up maintenance? Who's going to pay for that? Do I need to sell my purses? Do I need to sell things? What does this mean?
So he reads his post that he's put together for Instagram so everyone will stop texting him. And he's like, listen, guys, you know, if you're seeing this, it means you either chose me or I chose you to be on this platform, which means I believe you're one of the good ones. Jesus, is that what it means?
Are we going to war?
I need to reevaluate every single person I follow on the Instagram.
I don't want to be... If I don't want to be one of Justin's good ones, but I guess that's why I don't follow him. So that's a weird way to start your public explanation.
And Whitney, so after he says crying. That, Whitney starts crying and goes, "Wow, that's real. That is real.
That is so real."
He goes, "I will truly miss so much about these past 7 years. They have been some of the best 7 years of my life. And I have no doubt I will always support, uplift, edify, because people like being edified. And in the end, choose family first."
Well, not the one I left for Whitney, but the one, you know, the family I have with Whitney. Wow.
New family first. And then I added 3 hearts. I don't know why that was so hard. You know, the hearts thing. I didn't know, like, the emoji of menu is actually hidden in my phone. And it's just, I guess I'm at that age where it's hard to find out. I don't know why it's so hard. But I think that's the first time since
your dad died.
Yes.
Oh, yes. But you led the entire sales force. You are everyone's everything. These people are shocked because they don't know why you're gone. I mean, you, everyone, everything.
So she tells us
he was the OG in the industry. He was the chief sales and marketing officer of a publicly traded company that sold personal care products. No one fires Justin.
He was the OG in his entire industry that apparently only started 7 years ago.
Multi-level marketing, which just started 5 years ago.
OG means old grandpa, right?
Oh, so he's like, yeah, I knew there were rumblings, but the conversation itself, wow, that was still a big shock. And she's like, how did they position it? And he says, well, he said, I really appreciate your work, big guy, but, you know, Whitney, being a public figure, just don't see how we can continue to make this work. And Whitney goes, She puts her finger in the air. She's like, really?
I love that.
Really?
She like had a thought. Just like,
hold on. I really have a thought. I'm feeling this right now. Really? Really?
And he's like, yeah.
So the fact that your wife has a career and is successful, you can no longer work there. This has everything to do with shaming me for being what kind of woman I am.
God. Cancel culture comes for everyone at some point, I guess. So then that was a joke. So Justin goes. So Justin's like, I just realized when I said that, I was like, I don't want people to think I'm actually one of those people that complains about cancel culture.
Cancel.
So then Justin.
You guys, let's cancel Ben for complaining about cancel culture.
I'm not worried about being canceled for that. For other things, yes. But I don't want to be. I realize like the thing I hate in life now are like guys on the internet saying like, God, cancel culture. I'm like, okay. So anyway, Justin's like, he's like, you know, there was going to be a lot of conflict of interest. You know, they were interested in living their lives without ever having to imagine what I looked like in my underwear covered in chocolate. And I was interested in showing them that. So it was a conflict of interest.
But it is normal to want to be intimate with your husband on camera for millions of people. It feels like the last straw was when we did that love is art thing. Yeah, that can be cringy, but like, I'm freaking proud of that.
I mean, so she's like,
this takes me back to being 18 and being told, if you're not a man, you can't have it. You can't have it all. Well, he is a man and he can't do it either. Like, Whitney, I get it. Okay. Your main point stands. But shut up, Whitney. Stop making this about you. Your husband just lost his fucking job. She's like, I'm going to march around the block with a sign in my bra. I'm painting mailboxes with my boobs. They're going to learn.
I feel like you were asked to suppress your wife or leave.
And then she says,
it's bringing back all these reasons why I wanted to leave the Mormon church in the first place, because women are less than. Women will submit to their husband. So I'm like really fighting the feeling of feeling ashamed and guilty because I have nothing to feel guilty for.
I was like, wow, she really is the feeling of fighting the feeling of ashamed.
I'm filling the void of filling the feeling of ashamedness.
I mean, it's not like I was caught stealing. Sorry, I've got filling.
It's just like the bus, the wheels of the bus go round and round sometimes.
I have nothing to feel guilty for. And she's like, we've lost your income. Shit just got real.
Now, I don't know about this. What do you think? All the headlines at that time made it sound like it was that sexy scene that they did where they're like, we're finally done. You have sexed it up enough. But I've read other people's theories, and I think a good one is that she starts this huge personal care company that was multi-level marketing. I think she rebranded it and changed it around when she got called out on that. But it's like a direct competitor to his work. Plus, her stuff is getting all this publicity on the show, which kind of made sense to me.
Yeah.
But it is yeah, I mean, so I don't know.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't know enough about his company that he works for, because there's part of me that the thought did cross my mind, like, oh, they probably were just using this as a way to get rid of him, because they probably wanted to get rid of him for whatever reason. But especially, I didn't realize until you started saying it that she was competing with his company, and that he's put up money into it. So that is a conflict of interest there. But I don't know. Maybe I don't know if it's a conservative company too. That's just,
well,
like,
also there's the Jen
being
Shaw,
sexy on TV.
The Jen Shaw aspect, because a lot of MLMs are coming under fire in recent years. and he is multi-level marketing in the legal way. But people are saying maybe they're getting confused with whatever's going on with Jen Shaw going down, because hers was some shady stuff. I don't know. But I don't know that it was all over the stripping thing or not, but goddamn, I still had to laugh. I'm sorry. That's really mean when somebody loses their job, but
I'm really feeling really real in the fill. And that's it. That's all
I'm in my fills right now. I'm in my fills.
Type. Business. I'm typing business.
You are actually touching keys on a piano.
Choir business.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for...
Do you struggle trying to reach those corner lashes when applying mascara? L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara catches every lash for corner-to-corner volume.
Your sister has been using this, right?
She loves it, yes. They sent me some, and I gave it to my sister and my nieces. And actually, I looked... I saw my niece the other day and was like, your eyelashes, is that the new mascara? She's like, yes, look at them. They were like fanned out. I mean, this is a great product.
You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Want to see life in panorama with fully fanned out lashes? Now you can with L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara that creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
For a Crappens commercial.
So now, speaking of business and fillings, it's Beauty Lab and Laser time. We go to the Beauty Lab and Laser, where Heather, I mean, why does she need to have a choir audition? She should just make the 1,000 children who work at her spa just put on robes and sing songs.
Because every song would be,
I don't know why you're sad. And
it's like all Enya songs that they have to sing to together at work in the spa.
Sail away, sail away, sail away.
Sail away, sail away. I definitely just heard that song when I was in Santa Fe. I was walking by one, like I was walking down that gallery street, and there definitely was a gallery that had spinny things, you know, like that's like the metalwork that spins, so it looks like spirals. And it was like, sail away, sail away, sail away. And I was like, oh, Enya and whimsical garden ornaments. This is perfect. This is exactly what I want out of Santa Fe.
So she's got all the staff out there, and they're like, oh my God, we're so busy now. We need another location. What are we going to do? We need another location. And she's like, you know, success used to mean being a great wife and a great mother, and a woman only had a business so she couldn't do the other stuff. But now I've left Mormon, so suck it, Mom.
Yeah. By the way, I have to say, I was really amused by Heather gathering up her staff, just the name. I don't know why the names. Just Heather going down all these hallways. It's like a rabbit warren calling teenagers to go to the front. She's like, hey, Shelby, Mer, Logan, come on, time for the meeting. Sheila, Pina Colada, Paperclip, come on, we got a meeting, come on. Come on,
Tiffany. Paige. No, not you, Tiffany. Tiffany with the PH. Okay. Kyle.
Drawstring. We got a meeting. Come on.
Kevin, Q-Tip, everybody, come on in here.
Morgan, Ed, Morgan, we both need you. Come on.
Sophia, Sufia, Sifia. God, that name.
Souffle. Come on, Souffle. We got a meeting.
And finally, Tortilla. Come on in. So she's like, oh my God, guys, if we don't build a second location, our business will crumble. Botox waits for no man. Okay?
I thought there was. Wasn't this the second location? Did the first one close?
Am I crazy? I thought this was the second location too, or were they just remodeling the other location? But yeah, I think that this is a double storyline because, oh, maybe they moved the first time. Yeah.
Oh, was it just a move? Maybe. I was like, did they just like find footage from season one that they just decided to wedge in here?
Yeah, I don't know. So then she goes to talk to Dre alone, and she's like, I'm just so overwhelmed. I mean, why would I, you know, I'm just scared I could lose it all. And I'm stressed about the book because I call every day, and Steve said, you've been escalated because you've been so non-responsive. I mean, I've only heard that language from Capital One, honestly. So it was scary.
And then we get footage of Steven, the aggravated book agent, saying, I have to apologize to Simon and Schuster every single day for you. And it's getting to the point where they may just want to pull the plug. So Heather comes back and she gives us a good old fashioned Secrets and Wives. I feel paralyzed.
She's like, yeah, you know, it's just like I start writing, but then I have a crisis of conscience. And, you know, a couple of weeks I was so hopeful I could not identify as a Mormon and still have my family. But my cousins showing up to ski day made me feel like they're embracing my new life. And then last night, Lisa tweeted my dad's obituary as a way to like prove how great of a friend she is, because she texted me when we brought my dad home to die. And she texted me, I hope your dad is better. Okay, this is so shady, Heather. Okay, so now you're blaming Lisa for you not being able to write your book and losing your family. You're full of shit, okay? You were wrong. Just say I was wrong. Because what they're talking about is in the reunion where she's like, oh, yeah, Lisa texted me the day after my father died and said, how's your father feeling? I mean, who does that? And then Andy's like, wow, after he died? Anthony did it? That is great. God, what a villain. And Lisa's like, wait a minute, that's not true. So Lisa tweeted, now that they're back from the reunion, Lisa tweeted, no, I went through my texts, and it was the day before her dad died.
Right. So, so that's what she's upset. It is sort of like a weird thing, like she's blaming Lisa for issues with her book and her family. By the way, Heather, at this point, I mean, I say you really write that book and release it, which I think is happening, but write it and release it because it's better just do all the terrible shit now and ask for one blanket apology rather than do like the apology, have them come back into your life and then scare them away again and having to do it again. Get it all out now, say all the shit now, and that way you can then just have one big, sorry guys, and then work on it from there.
So she continues that Lisa weaponized that to hurt me and to prove that she's always right. And it made me lose my faith in any hope for any relationship. Okay, but you weaponized that against her. You weaponized a text that she sent you to be nice to weaponize against her at the reunion. And now she's correcting the record. And you're saying that she's weaponizing your father's death against you. No, you started it. And so then she continues, I got a text from my cousin saying, I don't want my life exposed and I don't want to be a party to any of this ugliness. So now she's blaming her family not wanting to be part of her life on this text instead of the ski day that they had the other day where there were fights and stuff like that and they were on camera for fights. So,
well,
lady.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, ma'am.
So, Dre is like, wow, not only did it destroy the progress in your family, destroyed your guys' friendship, and honestly, I think it destroyed the choir. I think we should give up the choir. Okay, so I guess that means I don't have to run the choir anymore, right? Right? No, you're running it. You're running it, Dre.
It destroyed your progress with your family. It destroyed your friendship. My muffler sounds funny. My God, you have split ends now. Have you checked your split ends? God damn, Lisa Barlow. God damn her.
My tuna sandwich just went bad in the fridge. Thanks, Lisa Barlow. Thanks, Obama. Thanks, Lisa Barlow.
So now she's like, screw Lisa Barlow. We've been taking baby steps. I even invited her to my choir.
Then we rewind and Heather going, hey, do you want to be in my choir? You have to audition. It's skill based.
So she's like, well, I hope her being right in that moment is worth it to her because she has lost me. She has lost me. I was like, okay, we're episode 6 and you've already said that to 2 people now. So keep it going.
She has lost me forever. She has lost me forever. Which is funny because that's what her family's doing to her. So I guess she's not learning lessons from that. So then Whitney, now we go to Whitney at yoga. And Lisa comes in. Ah, hey. And there's this girl, Erica, there. The yoga instructor is really perky. All the supporting people are really, they're showing up. They are acting not only like they are auditioning for this show, but they are auditioning for the choir too. It has that like double audition energy today.
Yeah, it's very, hi, Lisa. Nice to meet you, Lisa. Thank you so much for coming to Erica's private yoga class, Lisa. Whitney, hi, Whitney. We're going to down dog today, Whit. We're going to down dog.
She's like, okay, girls, this is going to be really chill. We're going to listen to our breath. We're going to listen to our hips. My hips are tight. Yeah, yeah. And my hips don't lie, by the way, Shakira. They do not lie. I always tell the truth. My hips sent out that tweet about the obituary, okay?
So they do yoga. Lisa's yoga is as floppy and hilarious as you can imagine. She puts one arm, it's like down dog, put one arm over and just like bangs her head on the floor. Like, did I do it right? Did I do it? Are we done with us?
Yeah, it's like a bad pretzel. It's like a misshapen pretzel. Like a pretzel where the knot doesn't come in correctly. So then now they are left alone. Erica's like, this space is yours, so take your time. So Whitney is like, excuse me, sorry, I had something in my throat. Justin left his company. It was really sad.
Well, how she says it, she's like, well, Justin has decided to, he left his company. She's like, oh, was that a choice to make because you wanted him to? No, it was a choice he was faced with. Like, I can't dive into the details. And Lisa's like, got it. And then she tells us, Justin being fired is all over social. But I'm saying, Mom, because Whitney doesn't need someone else telling her what she should or should not have done, bent over a bed, moaning and screaming like she was having sex with the Hershey's bar. So, you know, I don't see this glass as half empty. I see it as like a thermos, a very pudgy thermos that no one really should be using because thermoses shouldn't be made out of flesh. It's like a thermos, but like a keg. I'm still talking about Justin without his shirt. I can't stop.
The glass isn't half empty. It's just very dirty and gross, and you decide you don't want to buy it from Goodwill or something. So Whitney's like, he's had a corporate 9-to-5 job.
his entire life. And Lisa's like, well, some of the hardest challenges I've had, they give me the greatest blessings, okay? The greatest blessings. That's more time that you have to squirt Hershey syrup on each other and make love on television now.
But we made a promise to focus on the positive, and the truth is, my husband was released from a company. That was shit. I just said shit. There it is. No, Terry, put your stamp on that.
Wait, why does she say she's going to focus on the positive and then say, that was shitty? So Whitney's like, and then Whitney goes, what's new in your world? And Lisa goes, oh, I've had a crazy week. I started getting a lot of negativity coming at me because Heather lied about me in LA and people say, you're a horrible person. How disgusting are you? You terrible, horrible, wonderful entrepreneur who has like lots of amazing businesses. You're horrible, but very successful.
But retweeting Heather's father's obituary, I just want to understand why you feel you had to prove a lie. Where's the lie? But where's the lie? I don't understand. Whitney, where's the lie? She said after her dad died, I sent her a message saying, I hope your dad is feeling better. That is 100% a lie because the obituary says the date and then my text said another date. Oh my God. This is all very difficult. Erica, Whitney, you're doing great. Down dog, Whitney. Down dog.
No, Terry.
So, once again, it's another season with death dates under debate. So Lisa is like, I've let a lot of things go. This I couldn't let go of, okay? It was like the cherry on the icing on the chalupa from Taco Bell, okay? And I'm not going to look backwards for Heather, okay? I'm not going to go backwards with Heather, but I'm just looking to set the record straight, okay?
Well, I have every right to define myself. She's like, you do. But it's also fair to say that to an extent of not going below the bell, Did I go
about it the wrong way? 100%. I should have called her, but the intention was to clear my name.
But you could probably still pick up the phone and write her a letter.
No, I'm just going to show up at auditions because, you know, that's the way normal people resolve things.
This could go two ways. It could go bad or it could go good.
You notice so now, as she makes that face, it cracks me up. It's like the most intense, like,
I just made a really good point. Really, really good point.
So now it's time for Meredith and Seth to go to provisions. Now, Ronnie, I worked very hard last night to try to get Angie's voice down pat, and the question is, will my hard work be negated by a good night's sleep? Because what's going to happen is I'm going to come in here trying to do Angie, and I'm going to be like, well, hello there, Mr. Meredith Marks. I'm Angie.
I'm Angie. Angie Harrington from the sea, the deep dark sea.
Arg, I'm Andy Harrington. I've got scurvy.
Scurvy. So they come in, and Angie's husband pulls out her chair, and she's like, thank you, dear. And then Meredith is like, well, I've always liked Angie. I don't really know Angie, but for Lisa, I would probably have been friends with Angie. I just gave Lisa the space that she needed to have a relationship with Angie. But I don't worry about Lisa Barlow because Lisa Barlow obviously doesn't worry about me. So.
Well, we've ditched the baby and we're like parents of a toddler and he's 52 and I'm 40 and we love it. It's the best thing that's ever happened. The minute we get a babysitter, we're out the door.
Wow, okay. Did you have fun at skiing?
And she's like, well, I had fun with you, getting to know you better. The only damper was Lisa. Lisa just wants nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I can't imagine why, Angie. Cannot fucking imagine why.
You know, Meredith and I were a little trauma bonded. We were on the receiving end of Lisa Barlow's wrath. And sometimes when you go through emotional things or a friendship breakup, you have common ground and it drives you closer. Trauma bond. Can I go on Red Table Talk now? Because, Ronnie, I actually watched Red Table Talk yesterday.
Oh, God, like, the first time ever. Why? Like, I don't care about ever. Your fucking relationship, okay? I don't care. I don't know how you were together in the first goddamn place. You're both fucking terrible. And now I have to hear about whose fault it is you broke up. And yes, I'm talking to everybody who's ever been on the Red Table. Shut the fuck up. I don't care.
I followed a link and I was watching and they said trauma bonded so many times. Like, so tell us about you. Today we're talking to a young couple who's been trauma bonded and is working through their trauma bond. Like, well, I've been trauma bonded. Now my trauma bond is that my mom chose my dad. And she's like, now you, and that's your trauma bond. And then another random lady, and then like Cheryl Burke from Dance with Stars is like, that's your trauma bond. That's your trauma bond. That's my trauma bond. So when Angie said trauma bond, I was like, oh my God, it's like my day of trauma bonds. Meanwhile, watch me like next episode being like, you know, Ronnie, I really didn't like what they said on Winter House because that was my trauma bond. I'm totally going to now start saying trauma bond every 2 seconds. I'm trauma bonded.
So Andy's like, well, guys, I'm willing to hear every lie I've ever said, but I've never said that she did sexual favors for jazz tickets. And I'm very upset. Now, I like that she said specifically for jazz tickets because she... That leaves the door open for her saying she did sexual favors for something, right?
Well, she said actually alone or jazz tickets. So she actually eliminated two categories. But yes, the other categories are open.
So she's like, well, I'm upset I got dragged into this. However, Whitney and I in private have discussed things. And I think we have different ways of interpreting things. And maybe there was a comment of that person invested in Vita, but it was never for sexual favors. I just wouldn't say that.
I think what Angie's basically saying is we were gossiping. We were probably like laughing, probably like, well, that person invested. There's probably like a moment like that. And then Whitney took the ball and ran with it, which I think is completely realistic because we saw last year when it was like, God, isn't it funny that Meredith wasn't on the Sprinter the day that Jen Shah was arrested? Oh, my God. Meredith told the feds. So, like, Whitney kind of has a track record. Like, if you gossip around Whitney, you got to be careful.
She does.
It's going to go in a different direction.
So then Chris, this douche, Chris is like, hey, I can't believe this. So the last time I saw John was at a jazz game, and he said, get the fuck away from me. Can you believe that? And Seth's like, well, no, actually. I mean, that's really out of character for him. Meredith's like, that is shocking. That is shocking.
More shocking than the fact that we're not eating in an Italian restaurant in Salt Lake City right now. So Chris is like, well, I mean, actually, before he said, get the fuck away, he said, oh my God, love your work in The Hangover. Can I have an autograph? And I said, no, I'm not Zach Galifianakis. It's your old friend, Chris Harrington. And then he said, oh, get the fuck away from me.
I'd love to have a talk with you between two ferns, he said. And I said, come on. Okay, I'm off the clock, buddy.
Angie's like, do you think that it could have been fueled by what happened on Instagram?
Angie's just coming up with, oh, hey, do you think it might be fueled by what happened on Instagram? God, just came up with that. And Seth looks at Meredith and just starts laughing. He's like, these fucking two. What are we even doing here?
I know.
Sorry, go ahead, Ben.
Well, no. You're right. It was amazing. So Chris is like, I mean, Angie goes, you know, Chris got really frustrated and he felt like he was being attacked in the media. And, you know, and he goes, you know, and a lot of it, honestly, a lot of it felt like it was coming from Lisa, mainly because most of the bots said XOXO Lisa Barlow. It was pretty obvious, yeah. To be honest.
I mean, you know, most of them were just saying, leave Diana alone, you chunky monkey. Okay, you're gonna get it. But yes, Angie, so this is all because poor Angie was being attacked by Lisa after Angie made up that bullshit about the caterer last year, saying the caterer refused, that Lisa told the caterer she couldn't do Angie's party because they were gonna do Lisa's and Lisa would not have them doing Angie's party, which will all turn out to be a big fucking lie too. So you're being attacked all over social media because of lies that you were told that she was correct. This whole show is Lisa correcting the record after people say bullshit about her and then people getting mad that she corrected the record. Like, two seasons.
The thing is that Lisa is such a bad record collector. Corrector. That's the thing. She's like, I want to correct the record. And then it's like, if this were like a movie, she would be like, everyone, I'm going to make a speech. And I'm going to correct the record right now. Exhibit A. And she flings out her hand and knocks over a priceless sculpture, you know, and everyone's like, Lisa,
you I'm going to correct the 8-track right now. And just starts pulling out tape, flinging it everywhere. So she's like, yeah, you know, Chris was just frustrated because we were getting accounts about things that I'd only talked to her about. And so, you know, we're getting accounts about things I just talked to Lisa. Can we trust Lisa? And Chris goes, yeah, you know, and in a very immature moment, as a 50-year-old man, it was immature. Okay, judge me later, guys. Judge me later. But, you know, I just created a fake account. And then it just cuts to Meredith and Seth like, what?
And he goes, you know, there's no manual to defending your wife on social media, am I right? I'm like, there's no manual, but there are some basic concepts that you feel that you sort of can tell. Like that certain things you know are not gonna be good.
Oh my god, so there's no handbook for it, guys. And they're just looking at him. Meredith looks very not happy, you know, even though she hates Lisa. Like Meredith knows this is bullshit. And not only is it bullshit that you did that, but that you're admitting it on TV. Like, what do you think this does for you? Just lie. Lie and say it was not me. Unless fucking, you know, Angela Lansbury's ghost shows up at your fucking door holding receipts. Lie. What is wrong with you two?
Yeah, I think at that point, like, it sounds like he's already moved on. He already regrets it. So just, like, kill the account and move forward. So Seth is like, well, let's see. I should try to say something nice here. Well, that's understandable that you'd be trying to defend your wife because she has an amazing rack, actually. Can I put my nose in it? It's like, hey, whoa, Seth. And Meredith is like, well, I do think it's not great that you made this account or whatever else, but I have been sent certain things that tells me that Lisa's been doing the same thing. And at the end of the day, forget it and move on. You get nothing for nothing. You get nothing for nothing, except maybe a pretty cool sweatshirt that's not a commentary on Brooksy moving out of the house when I've been nothing but a great mother to him, but, you know.
At least you're owning up to that. So then we go over to Jen's house, and there's, like, alien balloons everywhere, like big blow-up alien characters everywhere. And Heather pulls up, and Jen is trying to open a bottle of wine with her claw nail. She's just like,
this isn't working. God damn it. What about what I've gone through, wine bottle?
You know what it sounded like? Mice in the Walls, you know, with her nails on and that cork trash trying to grasp it. It's like. So Heather shows up and she's looking at all these alien balloons and she's like, what the hell? And Jen's like, I threw a birthday party for a 5-year-old. So I'm getting extra money. I'm hosting alien birthday parties. So Heather opens up the bottle of wine, and then she looks at a balloon, an alien balloon that's the shape of a bowling pin, and she's like, this isn't even the appropriate body type for an alien, okay? This is like alien body positivity.
This is like a Tumblr alien. So she's like playing around with the balloon, and she's like, okay, but where do you blow this off? I mean, where's a blowhole? She's like looking at the wiener part, and she goes, oh, it's the back of the head. Okay, well, that's probably the most appropriate place you could put the blowhole. And Jen's like, oh yeah, so they're not like blowing it up down there. You're here to talk about me, you understand that, right? She's like, it's hilarious. Lisa would know more about giving blowjobs there than me.
So Jen's like, well, I know you have auditions tomorrow, and like I kind of need to tell you this, but like I pushed you to the side because that's the sort of martyr that I am, but Chris Harrington started an Instagram page called Shot Exposed.
She's like, babe, that's a big freaking deal. She's like, yeah, so it's been out there. It's, like, trolling me. And, like, I never told you because, I didn't want to, like, put it in your brain or your heart. And so I dealt with it all myself. But, like, it first came from Lisa, and so I didn't believe it. But then I brought it up to Angie, and she said, no, that's not true. And the next thing I know, I get a phone call. And it's from Chris Harrington. And he said he did set it up, and he's really sorry. And I was like, why was it called Shaw Exposed? Why me? Why me?
And I have to imagine Chris named it Shaw Exposed because it was the easiest way to get followers. People are like, oh shit, Shaw Exposed, right? So Chris basically took it because it was available. And
you have to type it in for it to be available, Chris. Okay. It's not like they just send you a list of available names. Okay. And it just happened to land on Shaw Exposed, you dingus.
She's like, why couldn't you do Lisa Barlow Exposed? Why not that? Why not that? I would have loved that troll account. Why not Barlow Exposed? He's like, well, you know, there's no manual out there for trolling someone that you're on a TV show that your wife wants to be part of. So I apologize.
So she's like, this was super hurtful, Heather. And when it comes to Angie, you need to also be more aware of what's going on with her. And Heather's like, yeah, obviously. How are you going to handle this? What are you going to do? She goes, what are you going to do? And she's like, yeah, well, I don't want to be in this situation. So I've developed a strong relationship with Chris and Angie, and I just feel devastated. So if it's any consolation, she knows how much I love you, and that's probably why she didn't tell me. So
how was that a consolation?
Yeah.
It's like literally not a consolation whatsoever. So now it's time. It's choir audition. It's choir audition day. And Heather is now, she's like showing up at the theater and everything. And then we see people getting ready. And so Lisa's in her foyer with John, and she's like practicing. She goes, away on a manger. Wait, hold on. I got to do it a little lower. Away on a manger. Oh,
no.
Away.
No, no.
La, la.
Not, not
la, 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 la.
No, no.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
Yeah, no, that's not good.
No.
She's like, no, I'll do it like this. Away in a manger. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. And John goes, no, that's totally off. And then she looks at John like, fuck you, John. Fuck you. So then Angie and Whitney are practicing a dance with top hats to the Saints Go Marching In.
Do they know what a choir is? Do they know what a choir is? Do they know the difference between choir and chorus?
There are no showgirls. Okay.
Yeah.
So then we go over to the Alliance Theater, and the Haas are just out of control now. I mean, the Haas, who are a choir, are just so excited. Yes. They think they're going to be on TV. They're like, finally, someone's going to see our faces.
Jeez. It was out of control. I loved also that they were all gathering at the Alliance Theater when you have all these people who are fighting showing up at this place.
Well, hey, so, Alliance comes from war. All right. All right. Let's go. Let's get this proxy started.
Choir war. So Heather walks into this like little theater, and she has a table set up, and she's like, we have a panel of judges. There's Jeff McLean. Jeff is the son of the most famous Mormon songwriter of all time, Michael McLean. And God, I'm so glad I'm not in the Mormon church singing songs about Mormonism anymore. Anyway, so Jeff McLean is here.
Paisley, who was a finalist in American Idol. Paisley was not. She went to Hollywood Week and they never even showed her again. They didn't even show her singing in Hollywood Week, ma'am. Okay.
Oh, we also have Houndstooth. Houndstooth is a great singer. She tried to be up for The Voice. Okay, she was wonderful.
Fleur De Lis was going to be here. Unfortunately, she got throat bumps. She's not going to be here.
We also have Ron. He's a chef. We just call him Chef Ron. He sings so well. He tried out for The X Factor. Unfortunately, he showed up for the auditions for Y, so he missed the boat. But he's great.
Called Chubby Checkers, but haven't heard back. So then
we have the White Stripes are actually here too. It's amazing. I can't believe we got the White Stripes.
So they've got 10 judges there and like 4 people auditioning, which is hilarious. It's just like 2 6-foot table for the judges for this community choir. So then,
I think they found all the people who showed up for the Reza Be Obsessed launch at Sally Beauty and said, by the way, does anyone want to try out for a choir?
So Jen shows up and she's like, I was expecting American Idol, okay? There's like 5 people and 4 of them are related to Heather, okay?
And Jen is wearing hot pink, and then Meredith shows up and Meredith goes, somebody looks like they're in my color. How dare you?
Lisa Vanderpump just swings by on a chandelier like, how dare you?
I want to swing from the chandeliers by Nicolaine Maestro.
So Whitney and Angie show up in their flapper dresses and top hats. I can't. So then Heather is talking to Jen inside, and she's like, okay, you're in charge of, like, hype control. You're Ryan Seacrest in this deal. She's like, I thought I was a judge. No, Ryan Seacrest? What, do I have to unhinge my jaw? I don't want to be that little shrimp.
And Heather's like, well, is Ryan Seacrest a judge or the star of American Idol? And Jen's like, okay, well, yeah, if you put it that way, I'm totally down for it. And who would Ryan Seacrest be without an assistant? Not even going to say it, Brian Dunkelman, but congratulations, Meredith Dunkelman Marks. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Wow, it sure gave me a low job pretty quick. I was going to be a judge, whatever.
So then they go outside and they're like, Jen has her fucking bullhorn. Do we need this in every episode with Jen with her bullhorn?
Hey, how you going to pay your rent, bitches?
This is the most apt use of it yet so far, that there is allegedly a crowd and she has to organize them.
But there isn't a crowd. There's like a line from a bus stop. It's like a city bus stop with a few people waiting to get on. She's there.
Yeah. It's allegedly a crowd. Allegedly. So she's like, hey, bitches, who's ready to audition? And then Angie is in her top hat and she does a high kick like, me, I am ready to audition. And Jen sees her and is like, the last thing I expected today was to see Angie Harrington, especially after my conversation with Heather when we were surrounded by alien balloons. Not to be confused with my conversation with Coach when we were surrounded by phone blocks.
Somebody missed a memo, apparently.
So Heather just completely ignores that conversation. She's like, ah, big deal. They can talk about it, choir.
Yeah. And next week we get to see the actual choir auditions. I love this stupid arc that they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great.
Pretty good. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here with us, especially on Clappings on Demand. Ooh. We will talk to you tomorrow with Little Winterhausen.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, She Don't Miss No Trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, She Has No Last Namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.